Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty. Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass. Awesome. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Tannehill for the Dolphins survey. What he sees in front of him, a field of defensive backs and a hawking tight end who stands at the 15-yard line. Tan throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the foot race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it. I'm a lateral. Once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
I don't know what to say. Never seen anything like it.
Really on the field is confirmed. It is a touchdown.
Every time we practice it, it's for the Hail Mary, but you got to be ready for anything. It's football. The way it ended, I mean, it sucked. I mean, never really been a part of anything like that. I feel like it's going to test our character big time, how we bounce back from something like that. And just got to make that tackle.
All right, we've been going it over it all day with you. It's that kind of play, that kind of day, a full day topic. Question to the panel and you is, does it leave a mark? Does it leave a mark? Murray, you just read a stat in the update. Why don't you repeat it and tell me what you said to me afterwards?
Yeah, so this is from Boston Sports Inf on Twitter. Boston Sports Info, but it's at Boston Sports Inf. There wasn't enough room for the O. The New England Patriots defense allowed more than 9 yards per play yesterday. It's only the second time that that's happened in the Brady Belichick era. The other time that it happened? 11:30:09 against the New Orleans Saints on the Monday Night Massacre, where they were giving up more than, it was 9.6 per play. 9.6 yards.
And your conclusion there is, or your...
Well, it's just another parallel between this year's team and that wretched fraud 2009 team, which I've been feeling like this team reminds me a lot of 09 a lot. Now, I stupidly fell into the trap of, wow, they're coming out of this after the dominant win over the Vikings, especially when it came to the defense. No, they're frauds. They're frauds. They're just like that team. They can't win on the road. It's just not. This is one of the weaker teams. They're still comparatively to the other teams, especially in this conference. They're good. But comparatively speaking to other Patriots teams, this is one of the lesser teams of the Brady Belichick era.
9 yards a play.
To Ryan Tannehill. Now, that 09 Saints team ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Good team.
And that was a great team. Drew Brees had a ton of weapons. So, okay, that kind of made sense. And again, that was a bad team. Ryan Tannehill and Kenny Stills and old-ass Frank Gore and Brandon Bolden.
Frank Gore.
Shame on me and anybody else who actually thought the defense was the strength of this team because of the way that they performed in the prior couple of weeks. Oh, my. Shame. Shame. Boo. You idiot, Jim. Boo. And anybody else. God, they're wretched. They really are. Slow at so many positions, especially linebacker. They get precious little push up front. Trey Flowers is like the only guy that does anything. Adrian Claiborne, what a whiff on that signing in the offseason. Ugh. Oh, God. The sting I got. I was in shock when it happened. I heard the call live doing the postgame, ready to do it at Splitsville with Beadle. Had I watched it in real time, I would have MF'd everything in sight. So hearing it, I was just like, what? Huh? Collectively, me, him, Jim Louth. And then to do it, and the more I've had a marinade on it, I came home last night, I'm like, I can't believe that happened. The sting that I got from the game, that's a week ruiner. That was an old school Pete Carroll era, late 90s week ruiner. I'll be pissed about this until next week when they go to Pittsburgh and lose that game.
I mean, I'll tell you, when you really go through and look at, like, because I didn't spend a lot of time on the numbers in this game. I mean, you didn't have to. Okay, yeah. On the obvious ones. But when you go and look at them, the Patriots ran 75 offensive plays. Miami ran 45, and they had the same yardage. Like, Patriots had 421, and Miami had 412. Like, that is, the Patriots ran 30 more offensive plays. They held the ball for 10 minutes more than the Dolphins. The Dolphins threw only 19 passes. The Patriots blocked 2 punts. Miami went 1 for 7 on third down. If you looked at just the numbers in this game, you would say, New England won this game 42-17.
They should have. They were on their way to doing just that, especially after that second block punt. And then after that touchdown to Gronkowski, for whatever reason, Tom Brady turned into a pumpkin. He's just as complicit. It's mostly on Belichick, and if you just want to talk about that last play, because I know other things mattered in that game. And so, yeah, Gronk shouldn't have been out there. But also get on Belichick for not playing Danny Shelton for the second week in a row. So you're not getting gashed in the running game. to the Miami Dolphins and get Brandon Bolden and a 50-year-old Frank Gore.
I meant to say, too, I particularly like Lawrence Guy sitting on the football yesterday like he was giving birth.
But Brady was brilliant. That's as good as he's looked in a long time.
Since the Super Bowl.
And then, poof, it was after that Gronkowski touchdown, and he sort of hobbled coming off the field. Not sort of. He hit the deck.
You've seen the Joe Giza footage, right?
There's a field-level camera angle. It's been out on Twitter.
It's on my Twitter feed. I retweeted the Joe Giza thing. It's out there.
So it's really just...
It's kind of scary.
Just collapsed, yeah. He finishes the game, but it's not the same guy. He cooled off considerably. He was hot. That's as hot as he's been in a long time. It's great.
And the balls were darts.
The ball to Patterson was just gorgeous.
So including the Gronk touchdown, he's 16 for 20, 212 yards, 3 touchdowns. After he hit the deck, 11 of 23 for $146, no touchdowns.
And ducking out of...
It looked like the Tennessee game.
Yes. So what happened? Maz raised a good theory. There's painkillers out there that only last a half. Most of them, in fact. Like, I've been under the understanding that if you're a football player, you get to pick a half with some of that Toradol or some of the numbing agents that... They're not going to give you two shots back-to-back. That's dangerous. They'll give you one. You get one a day, but only lasts 2 hours. So you get to pick the first half or the second half. You're either going to be hurt in the first half and feel great in the second, or you're going to get through the first and then hobble through the second. So is that where Brady's at with the knee? Maybe. I don't know. Not a bad theory.
Well, and you know what? If you're the Patriots, given the way your road games have gone, slow starts, you want to get out on a team fast, shoot me up for the first half, we'll be up enough and we'll be okay.
Should have worked if you could play. If you could tackle. Their tackling in that game yesterday was so freaking bad. All right, so, again, your reaction to this. Tony and Worcester, lead us off this hour. Go.
I just have a quick question. We all know the defense sucks. So why not rush Butler, who can't move a toothpick, and drop everybody else back?
Okay,
Belichick can't get it?
So they rushed four guys on the final play.
I hated that, too.
Okay, so the fourth was Van Noy. That wasn't a straight rush. Van Noy was there, I think, to do exactly what he did against Chicago on their Hail Mary, which is affect the throw late. And I think it's an okay plan on a true Hail Mary, and that helped save you the Chicago game because Van Noy got to Trubisky right when he was throwing, and that's why Trubisky came up just a little short of the end zone there. And it landed at the one, and even though they caught it, you made the tackle. And I think Van Noy getting on a Trubisky there at the very end helped affect that play. So that's what I think Van Noy's there for. He's there to sort of pause, and then once the quarterback gets out on the edge, which always happens,
close,
and force a bad throw or a short throw. They were playing that like Miami was throwing that into the end zone, which is ridiculous given the fact he was throwing it from his 25-yard line. Miscalculation. Mistake.
Totally. Like, again, this to me is like, do you really need Gronk on the field for that play?
And he says Adam Butler, right? What? So even if you're only rushing three plus the one, whatever, how is Adam Butler one of them? He's a nose tackle. Like, they're not running it up the middle there. I don't get why that guy, why wouldn't you put three fast pass rushers on the field?
I don't know. Again, I want to go back and look and try to identify all the personnel is on the field, because I don't think I've got all 11 yet. I actually thought Butler had a half-decent game yesterday. He was one of the few.
It's just in that situation.
No, I hear you. Yeah, I thought it was a good move, too, to take Devin McCourty off the field. That was a good decision by Bill.
Matt in Uxbridge on your running back. Go ahead, Matt.
Guys, I am asking my wife for Christmas a number 26 jersey that says poop shell on the back. Oh, my God. This guy runs into the back of his lineman, bounces off, and then runs straight again. If someone's going to get him one of those little kid toys where you put a sphere into the square and teach him how to find holes. He is awful. Bill, if you're listening, your first two-round picks, Sony Poop Shell and the Fat Kid. Thank you.
Michelle doesn't suck. He doesn't.
It's a great call, though.
And get it right. It's the Fat Kid from Georgia.
But he's not great yet. I mean, he's not. But you folks love him. Look, anytime he runs through a hole that's 20 yards wide, wee! Look at our running game. But as soon as there's a tight hole or a thin little lane or a goal line situation where he's got to create yards that aren't there or barrel in there, he doesn't do it. Unless he's following, what's his face there?
Devlin.
Through a wide open hole, I really don't see much that he does.
Me neither.
I don't. He hasn't been a factor in the passing. I don't see him
at all.
I mean, he's just not. So he's not in your passing game.
And that's where I thought, that's why I thought that they drafted him more than any other, than anything else.
In goal line, he's really a non-factor.
I got a tweet from David who said that Nick Chubb was the short yardage back at Georgia.
Right.
So they didn't even use him in those spots.
And he's in Cleveland.
And he was drafted after Sony Michel.
Mm. And how many runs of more than, like, well, I don't know, 50 yards does Chubb have this year?
I think like it's five? Two or three.
Yeah. Oh, God. I think he's got like a 90-yarder, a 60-yarder. It feels to me like he gets into the open field. Well, no one can catch him.
Well, when Sony Michel gets some space, fine. He's fine. Like, he's like anybody else. He's fine. I mean, I've never said he sucks or blows like Maz did. I just, you know.
He's awful, Mike.
He's not. He's just another guy. He's just another running back.
First round pick.
He's just another running back.
Chubb was taken after him.
On him and the fat kid from Georgia.
And they were teammates, and the Patriots got it wrong.
Anthony and Medford. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah. Mike, I seen you at a show, and you were saying, like, with the Gronk, that was brutal. He should have never been on the field. You embarrassed the guy. There was no Hail Mary. You watch it from that play, though. I seen it on one cut. And Jonathan Jones is running and then just stops thinking somebody else is going to tackle. And Jason McCourty just was watching. It was brutal.
Oh, the pursuit was just horrible on that play. No pursuit. The only guy that hustled and busted his ass was Van Noy, who was, as part of the rush, even a delayed rush to begin with, and then he races back, whatever, 20, 25 yards and almost makes the play on the sideline. Watch, no one else really dug in other than him.
No, they all pretty much half-assed it. I mean, they were all waiting for someone else to make the play.
Jones was, you know, too aggressive, in fact. But so maybe I'll give you a half of Jones. Otherwise, they're all, like, playing their lane or something. Like, go get the guy.
I mean, it was unbelievable. Really. Unbelievable. You would never think in a million years that that would happen to the Patriots. Never in a million years.
Okay, if that was the worst play of the day, there was one that was almost as bad. 1A and 1B. We'll get to 1B right after this.
Younger Naz, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
See, part of the problem down here, too, you're down and tight, so you're playing against the clock. That's in the back of your mind. You're getting pressure. That's in your mind. So it's, let's make a quick decision. It's a one read, and boom, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, I got to pitch it.
They can't afford the sack. That's the last thing the Brady and the Patriots, other than a turnover here, could take. No timeouts for either team. With Gordon to the right, joined by Gronkowski, who motions in that direction. Two receivers left, White in the back, but as Brady takes the snap, stands in under pressure. He's hit, and down he goes. Brady is sacked and back at the 10-yard line, and the Patriots cannot clock with the clock counting down and time expiring on the opening half.
Are you kidding me?
The Patriots.
Are you kidding me?
Indeed allowed the sack.
He's
got to
throw that away.
Tom Brady with an uncharacteristic mistake after he missed Hogan with an opportunity to add to the lead. Oh, the Dolphins can exhale with a huge sigh of relief. Miami trails still by just six as we head to halftime.
That was a bad, terrible play by me. That should never happen. I just lost. I thought we had one timeout. We called the one, and then we ran a couple plays, and I was just not thinking on third down. So it was just a play that should never happen.
Yeah. Time ran out on us. Yeah. It's obviously not what we were trying to do. It's obviously just what it wasn't a good play. It's not what we were trying to do. So.
So again, Brady fesses up to a terrible play, but says he lost track of the timeouts, thought he had one. If he did, he sure acted weirdly on the field then, because if he felt he had one timeout, I would have thought he would have popped right up and called it. But he didn't. He didn't. He goes down and wasn't a total phantom rush, but he also was sort of doing that spin out of contact thing. But either way, he goes down and then just sort of lay there. He didn't pop up. He didn't motion for a timeout. He didn't show any urgency. And in real time, I felt he just knew he blew it. He knew that he blew it. Maybe in his mind, Maz said there was a similar situation in that game at Seattle. Was it 6 years ago? Whatever it was, where he had end of the first half, same thing, except he threw it out of the end zone and got called for intentional grounding.
Correct.
And they had a 10-second runoff, and they left the half without any points. Maybe that's in the back of his mind that I can't just blatantly throw this into the stands, or else I get the intentional grounding and a 10-second runoff, and we don't get any points. So he holds it, and he goes down, and he realizes he's just screwed up. Because he never, if he felt he had the timeout, he never went to call it. So explain that to me.
I mean, of all the things that happened in that game yesterday, that's one of the more unbelievable ones because of who you're talking about. If another quarterback does it, fine, no problem, you idiot. I mean, we just make fun of him.
Typical.
But Brady, you look at it and go, what? Like, how did you not know that?
And I felt the play before was just as glaring and for like a different reason. Whether Tom Brady's lost his step or is getting old, and like none of those things I really believe, but you know, no matter what doomsday scenario you point on Brady, that play with the timeout at the end is an aberration. Okay, that's just a rare, rare mental lapse from one of the best mentally prepared athletes I've ever seen in my life. That ain't going to happen again. I don't worry about it. The play before, where he's got Hogan breaking wide open on the back of the end zone, and there's a rusher that flashes in Brady's face, and instead of standing in there, setting his feet, and delivering the ball, and he still probably wouldn't have taken a shot. Maybe he would have. It was borderline. But I don't know if that rusher was even that close to him. But Brady not standing in, setting his feet, and delivering the ball, that's one that scares you. Because that's the sign of an older quarterback. That's someone who's now shying away from contact, or seeing things that aren't there, or aren't, you know, isn't quite capable of sticking with the play like he used to. And I'm not drawing those conclusions because I still think Brady's got a lot of good football left. But it's that play before that I go, ooh, that's...
You're feeling a phantom rush. He bails out of the throat.
That's a bad one.
And you saw it for most of the game against the Titans last month. Like, that's where it's like, what's the deal here? Are you really hurt? Are you terrified of further injuring yourself beyond what's going on? Like, that is, you just don't see that. Where you see that shoulder turn like that, like,
ooh.
And there wasn't someone right in his face. Like, what the hell's going on there?
A rusher just flashed in his face. And again, he was coming in, but I don't even think Brady would have gotten hit. The rusher would have had to have taken, I think, two full steps. Or would have, you know, put himself in danger of a roughing.
Going to take a push,
yes,
and fall on his ass?
Right.
Like, that's about it.
Right, and he wouldn't hang in there.
And he makes that completion, touchdown, and that game's out of reach. And you get the Dolphins to quit. And that's what it felt like was about to happen. And then he missed him, and then he screws up the timeout, and it's, what the hell is going on here? Like, oh my God, they're letting this game unravel, and they're letting this stupid Dolphins team hang around.
So that was a rough sequence there.
Oh, awful. God, he missed it by a mile. And again, look, given the way it went in the second half, I don't know, man. It's hard. You know, you see that video that's out there on Twitter of him after the Gronk play, walking off the field and then going down and grabbing his knee and then limping off. Or there's something going on with that left
hand. And that's why I don't really buy into the narrative of, well, one of the real things that we can take out of this game that's a positive is how great Tom Brady looked. And that's how it's going to be going forward. Is it? Because, again, after he went down with that thing that no one touches him, prior to that, he's 16 of 20, 212 yards, three touchdowns. And it's as good as he's looked since Super Bowl 52. After that, 11 of 23, buck 46, and it looked like he was playing the Titans again. So are we really sure we're going to get first half Tom Brady prior to the, you know, until after the Gronk?
Maybe he's, look, I'm just going to say this, but I don't necessarily believe it. But the worry is that he's not capable of doing that for 60 minutes anymore. It's now just, he gets hot, but he can't do that the full game or week after week. And I don't necessarily believe that, but that would be the fear. I think he can still do it. It was good to see the ceiling again, though.
Oh, my gosh. He was terrific for most of the first half.
Because it feels that it's been a while since we've seen him really light it up.
He was throwing lasers.
He lit it up.
Those balls were rockets. He had more on the ball yesterday than he has all year long.
He was terrific.
And it makes sense, though, that if something's with the knee, that he's sort of bailing out because he can't land on it. Like, to me, I think there's a left knee thing there. I don't think that's stretching at all. There's something there.
Okay, back to your phones. Here's Keith in New Hampshire. Go, Keith.
Yeah. Wasn't Gronk on the injury report last week?
On and off, on and off, on and off.
Right. So he had a great game, or a good game, let's say. So let's put him in on defense, and let's hope he doesn't get hurt, and there he goes for the rest of the year.
Well, so there's another, if you want to be positive, Gronk looked awesome, too.
He did look awesome. I mean, he was moving. Now, what I wonder is how much of it was Miami. They didn't chuck him at the line at all.
They zoned him the whole game.
Holy crap, how stupid can you be? The problem is he can't shake it anymore like he used to. And they just let him run off the line all day long. Like, so he had no resistance whatsoever. He had a, you know, but he did. He looked terrific. And the catch down by the goal line with a guy, you know, basically on his back, like the whole 9 yards.
The whole Brady, Edelman, Gronkowski thing
was back.
Like that really, oh God, it was back.
Ish.
No, it was back, Murray.
Oh, I don't know. You were into those balls that kept clanging off Edelman's hands a few times? Like, because we've seen that a bunch since he's come back, too. So he's clearly not the same. And I think too much is being made out of the Gronk thing, too. Yes, his hands were back for a game, but he doesn't have the ups or the strength anymore to bowl people over. And then he's on one leg at that stupid play that he shouldn't even be in on at the end of the game.
In all fairness, he's not a defensive back, although that's where Bill put him. Carlos in Connecticut. Go, Carlos.
How's it going, guys? I just want to say I think Brady, Gronk, and Edelman are all hurt, and it's pretty obvious by every play that's going on. And Daron Harmon and Steven Gostkowski both suck. However, I'm not going to take this loss as they're done, because at the end of the day, every year something happens in Miami, no matter what. And in my opinion, I think the Steelers took a worse loss to that horrible Oakland Raiders team.
So I'm going to stop you there. I mean, let's just focus on the Patriots in a vacuum. Just because someone else sucks doesn't mean you're better. Although it may net out that way. I understand what you're saying. What was I just going to say? Oh, the difference is this is a trend this year. It's not like you're 7-1 on the road and you had the weird Miami thing.
Correct.
You're 3-4 on the road, and Maz has said this all year, I'm not sure you've played a good road game yet. I'm not sure you've played a good road game. Maybe at Chicago, because they've turned out to be a good team, that, you know, that would be your best, but you were down 10 points in that one, you know, and they were a yard short of tying you up on that one as well. But either way, you haven't really played well on those. So I don't know if yesterday was a Miami thing or it's a 2018 Patriots road thing.
Oh, to me, it's 2018 Patriots. Again, because if the other games hadn't happened, fine. But you add in Detroit. You add in Tennessee. Hell, for that matter, add in Buffalo. They didn't play great there either.
They didn't play that great in the first half against the Jets.
It was 13-13 with a minute left in the third quarter in New York.
So I look at all those and I say they just don't respond well in a hostile environment. And that is, you know, usually mental fragility.
Mike in Maine, go.
Yeah, hey guys, look, Mike, you touched on it earlier in the show about doing your job. Murray hit on it just a few minutes ago. You got to do it for 60 minutes, right? So, Belichick, he does it for, what, 59 minutes and 53 seconds? And, you know, let us down.
Okay, Mike, thanks for the call. Just in from the fields. Yeah, I see, I don't think Bill gave up. I think Bill screwed up. He thought Tannehill was throwing into the end zone or was going to throw it into, you know, inside the five, was going to throw a big Ben Hail Mary. That's what he thought was happening, and he was wrong. And even if they were throwing it, even if it was a deep ball, he's not making the end zone. So the thing's going to be caught on the 5 or the 10, which means you still want tacklers there, not the jump ball guy. Because you don't even need to defend the pass. You need to make a tackle.
I mean, that's why I keep coming back to McCourty. The bigger sin on that play is not having McCourty on the field. Devin McCourty. He's your best tackler. He's an exceptional tackler. He free safety. That's all you ever ask him to do is play center, whether he's up on the line more this year or not.
$10 million a year to get the hell back, and he does that better than anyone.
He played every defensive play in the game yesterday except one.
Oh, and it finds you. Of course, it finds you. More of your reaction after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tannehill, last shot, back to throw.
They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do to Parker. Parker pitches it. And it's Greg. Greg! 30! 20! Greg Pounce has got a tackle!
Oh, got
it!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Oh. There are no flags, no flags, and the game is over.
And there ain't no flag.
All right, that's what it sounded like in Miami for that thing. And again, the
and there ain't no flag.
That's a high school call, but very similar. We, the biggest second guess from everyone is Rob Gronkowski, the tight end with the bad Achilles, as the last line of defense versus your $10 million a year safety, Devin McCourty. That's just one that, you know, and it doesn't even have to be an either or. You could have had Devin McCourty out there instead of J.C. Jackson, his brother Jason McCourty, Jonathan Jones, you name it.
Jonathan Jones.
Or, you know, the fat guy, Butler, 70. Like, what was he meant to do on that play?
I mean, he was one of your three pass rushers, I'm guessing, right?
Would you say that that's one of your better pass rushers on the team?
He did have a decent game.
I thought he was I thought he was pretty good yesterday. I don't have a huge problem with him being on the field.
Okay, well.
I don't. I mean, look, there were going to be three linemen on the field.
Yeah,
right?
I want three of your fastest
Adam Butler.
Linemen. Thanks, Greg.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I'm sure Bedard will sing his praises.
Adam Butler.
But my God, you don't have McCourty on the field.
Okay, so Bill, as his wont, is not really going to give in to the media on a mistake. And so that was the case today where he did a conference call. Again, you're going to hear what I thought were writers pecking away at their computer and rebooting their laptops in the middle of this thing, which is, again, enough to make me want to throw myself off a tall building. We've subsequently gotten conspiracy theories that might even be Bill doing it because everyone else is supposed to be on mute except for him. So if there's any ancillary sound coming in, it's from him. So I wouldn't put it past Bill one bit just to not even be typing anything, just to as an a-hole to be like, you know. Just to ruin our sound. He's not above that. But anyway, so the back and forth on Bill and his usage of personnel there on that last play. Jimmy, just go through what we did before.
Just curious, did you give much thought to going with a regular type of pass defense instead of the Hail Mary defense at the end?
No.
And I'm just curious, of all the players to come off the field on the last play, why was it Devin McCourty who came off? He seems to be one of your team's faster players, one of your better tacklers. Why was he the one who came off?
Yeah, that's the way we substituted that group.
Okay, stop.
Do you wish nine?
Stop. It's just not answering the question. We know that's how you said. We saw it. He asked you, why was he off and why was he on? We know that's how you substituted. Why?
It's so typical him, though. And I'll tell you, like, this is one of those where, again, I understand we're the devil. The media is the devil. I get it.
He's never going to give in to us.
But if you are a fan, like, that should irritate the crap out of you.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really you. He's not going to give in to you because we're asking the question for you. You want to know. So we're asking for ourselves, too. Like, I mean, obviously. But, you know, those conference calls are the conduit. So he's just never going to give in to you. I wonder what he does internally. I wonder what he does internally. I wonder if Robert ever asks him.
Oh, I would imagine he does.
What do you think?
On some stuff.
I don't know.
But it's going to be done in the right way and at the right place.
Which is
time.
Like when? I'd be like, hey, never mind, Bill.
3 months later?
Yeah, whatever. So I don't know if the owner asks or if his players ask or if the assistants ask. Does he take that same a-hole approach?
I bet he does sometimes. I told you. I go back to that 09 documentary when he's sitting there in front of the team addressing them after 4th and 2. And he, you know, he sort of gave us, I'm not going to apologize for trying to win a game. And I thought it was this really stubborn sort of like, you know, I do what I do and you have to accept it. And I remember thinking if I were a player and he fed me that, I would go, ugh.
Well, Jimmy, just continue. Let's hear some more.
Yeah, that's the way we substituted that group.
Do you wish in hindsight you had him on the field for that play?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that could have been better on that play. And I think there are a lot of things that could have been better in the entire game. I don't think the game was a lot more than that play, but certainly that play wasn't a good one for us.
Okay, again, generically, just wasn't a good play, but nothing specifically on why Gronkowski was in and McCourty was out.
See, I'll tell you what, though, for him, that's almost an acknowledgement that he would do it differently.
Because he says that there's a lot of things more than that play?
Yeah, yeah. But that he says, you know, he acknowledges that there were a lot of things on the play that went wrong. He didn't exclude that one, though. Like, for me,
right,
given how stubborn he is over the years and how unwilling he is to admit that, the mere fact that he would say, well, you know, there are a lot of things on that play is his way of saying, yeah. I mean, that's how I take it.
Give me some more.
I'll take that as a yes.
Do we have the Tom Curran exchange?
Do you have an option, obviously, to, instead of defend the throw to the end zone, also have something where you get into this hook and lateral multiple option or multiple lateral type play where you would say, these are the guys we want on the field in that instance, and maybe the personnel would have changed? Because it's looking like a 75, 77-yard throw for Tannehill to get it to the end zone after he drops.
Yeah, so what's the question? Playing both plays? Yeah, that's the idea.
Should you have, since he was never going to reach the end zone, should you have had better tacklers on the field instead of a 6'5", 260-pound tight end?
Yeah, I just said, Tom, there's a lot of things that could have been better on that play.
Okay, but he just can't bring himself to acknowledge
that he screwed up.
That personnel was an issue on the
play. Oh, no, he can never. It's like he'll never give you that directly. I'll take it as a yes, no, Bill, so how about that? I'm blaming you. Like, that's the way I look at it. I blame you. The thing that is mind-numbing is the McCourty absence. As much as the Gronk, I don't agree with Gronk being out there either in that situation. I don't. But let's say you actually want to, you subscribe to the logic that Gronk can bat down a ball at the 15. Fine. I disagree, but fine. McCourty's the guy you take off? Devin McCourty. That's the guy you take off the field. Like, how do you explain that?
Maybe Devin's been clamoring for more hush money.
I mean, first of all, the obvious and easy answer is Jonathan Jones. Get off the field. You suck.
Well, at least there's speed there, though. Andy, he's a defensive player. Like, the Gronk thing, no.
I'm with you, Murray. I don't mean to, you know, I'm with you. It should have been, Gronk shouldn't have been on the field. But you're going to put Gronk on and take McCourty off?
No, I know. It's
all right, we continue with your reaction to that hot mess right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now with a counter play fake to Michelle. Brady stands in, firing deep down the middle for Patterson. Reels it in to the post, and a touchdown, Patriots. Woo!
Look out, NFL. Somebody's starting to heat up in the month of December, and he wears number 12. This is as good and as accurate as I've seen Tom Brady throw the football with accuracy, with precision, and just good, authoritative throws. Believe in what he's seen. He beats Akins. It's a skinny post. Oh, that's a sexy route. Cordarrelle Patterson on a skinny 37-yard post pattern for a touchdown to take the lead.
All right, so there's a highlight for you. And oh, by the way, Murray, you know why we're playing this song?
Get out of here. Are we giving away tickets? Am I going to be living on Reds, vitamin C, and cocaine, Felga? Tell me you got tickets for me, kid.
Dead tickets.
Yeah.
This segment, I forgot to tease it the last one. And we're doing this all week.
Yeah, I'm not much of a deadhead, but I'm going with Murray.
All week, dead tickets at this time. So this segment, wake up, this segment. You want tickets to see Dead & Company at Gillette Stadium? I'll give them away this segment.
I remember at the old place before Jerry died, you'd walk down there every fall, right near the garden, and all you'd hear was, shh. Oh, and that's, you knew the tanks were right around the corner, kid. They got balloons. Yeah, we're going to party.
Yeah, they're still at it, Murray. 50 years later, they're still at it. Okay, so dead tickets coming up later on this segment. The play cut you heard right there, Tom Brady. Boy, he was good to start. And that ball to Patterson, that was...
best throw of the year.
Yeah, it was.
That was un-Brady-like in that those deep balls, he's usually putting a lot of air underneath
it. I agree.
And he's putting usually too much air underneath it, and he's generally overthrowing the guy because he's trying to compensate and time it out and just loft it up there.
And for the receiver, it's usually wait and come back to it. Like, or, you said, like, it's just...
That's not a typical, you know, that's an Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes sort of deep ball where it's 30 yards on a line.
It was a rope. It was an absolute freaking laser.
Tremendous ball.
Further suggestion that his knee was shot up because, like, he was stepping into it and didn't feel a thing. I'm just throwing that out there. I think something's wrong with his knee, and I don't know, maybe whatever drugs he was taking wore off. The balls he was throwing in the first half, rockets. They were absolute rockets.
So, as Murray's pointed out, Tom Brady, up until the Gronk touchdown, including the Gronk touchdown, 16 of 20, 212 yards, 3 touchdowns. After the Gronk play, in which he sort of collapsed coming off the field, or buckled and went to the turf, after, 11 of 23, under 50%, 146 yards, no touchdowns. So Brady fell off, and Maz points out, you know, as I've mentioned, as I've heard it, some of these painkillers, you only really get to pick a half because they're not going to give you two shots and they last 2 hours or less. And so you can shoot up for the first half, but then it wears off, or you can sort of gut out the first half and then get right for the second. And you've, in a lot of cases, you get to pick a half. Did that happen with Brady?
I wonder. I mean, I do. I wonder. And again, after that touchdown pass to Gronk, when he's coming off the field, he goes down, sort of sits with his legs extended out in front of him. If you haven't seen it, I retweeted it. It was Joe Giza of Channel 4 who initially tweeted it because they have it on video. He adjusts his knee. It's weird. And then he gets up and he's limping. I mean, he had trouble getting up. So to me, something happened there.
Well, he said in his weekly interview today that it had to do with that knee brace, but I don't know. Like... that looked like, you know, look, he's had issues with the knees all year, right? Like, so there's something going on there. He felt something, maybe it popped, but either way, it looked like he turned into a pumpkin. He was playing as good as he had since the Super Bowl in February, and it was like, okay, all right, Brady dialed in today, until he wasn't.
Okay, again, I promised, your phones, we'll rifle through them. Jerry on the Cape, go.
Yeah, tying to your point about Brady wearing down, I think Belichick is also wearing down. All this makes you wonder, why on these away games isn't the team better prepared? And other than an aging, mentally tired coach, what else could it be?
Well, Jerry, I mean, it's a fair question. I mean, that's an intangible that does go back to coaching and the makeup of the team and things of that nature, and so that falls on Bill. And I think there's definitely something to it. And I obviously can't put my finger on it, but I think if you're a bad road team, that's a telling sign, and it's not a good sign. And they're simply not a good road team.
But, you know, they were bad on the road in 09. I didn't think the game had passed them by.
Oh, I still don't think the game's passed them by.
Right? It's like, I just think sometimes you just have players that are soft mentally. And you put them in an environment where all of a sudden the crowd's against them and they're not quite as confident. And so yesterday it was a defensive issue.
Oh, it was all defense. Their offense did more than enough to win that game. It wasn't perfect, of course, the end of the second quarter. But the defense from the first series couldn't stop a nosebleed. It was embarrassing. You'd go up, then you'd allow an easy touchdown on the way back all game long. Alex in Gloucester. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, guys. First off, maybe there's a connection between Gostkowski's accuracy in kicking touchbacks, because that was the first game I saw him actually kick consistent touchbacks. And secondly, Murray, of all the mistakes we made this game, what makes you think that activating Danny Shelton that fat load. What makes you think that would have made a difference? The guy's done nothing all season, and he probably would have died of heat exhaustion during warmups.
Maybe, but maybe there would have been less of a push up front from that Dolphins team that shouldn't be able to get 9 yards a carry with old-ass Frank Gore and Brandon Bolden, who kept running it up right up the middle. It was a sieve in the middle of that defense. So I have to think Shelton would have helped just in terms of his size. Those two, Brandon Bolden's a special teams player. And Frank Gore is like 50, and they were ripping off 9 yards per carry.
And as you point out, Minnesota ran on your ass, too. They just stopped handing the ball off.
He was a healthy scratch last week, too. So two straight weeks, I think this is, especially yesterday, this is another thing you can question the coaches about.
Rocco and Saugus. Go ahead, Rocco.
Hey, listen, just give me a couple of seconds. Ben, Bill Belichick, I mean, I don't know how long we're going to give this guy a pass, you know, in the last couple of years, fighting with his quarterback, losing the Super Bowl yesterday. I mean, Stevie Wonder could see that he lost some coaching skills. I mean, honestly, like, if we can get Harbaugh from Michigan in the next couple of years, grab him. And another thing about Belichick, I mean, you're under the sun for 3 to 4 hours, and you can't get a tan? I mean, how albino do you argue that you can't get a tan? I mean,
we'll second thing to the side. I don't care about his tanning. And I think Bill this year has been exceptional. I think the team is where it is because of the coaching. Because I think Brady's taken a little half step back. I think the offensive weapons through, you know, whatever, suspension, injury, age, have taken a little step back. The defense has been a little better, but certainly not great. I think they've been, more than anything, schemed this year. I think their schemes have been tremendous.
Well, and yesterday on defense, that's what I
learned. Bill screwed up the last play. He screwed up the last play. It cost him a game. But otherwise, I think he's the reason you're where you're at this year.
I mean, how do you play so well defensively against Minnesota and then play the same guys?
Okay, so he's got a home road issue, which is a bigger picture thing that I can't put my finger on.
But I also think it tells you about the vulnerabilities of the defense. Against Minnesota, they schemed it. And against the Dolphins, they didn't. I mean, I didn't see the same type of scheme. They weren't trying to confuse Tannehill. They looked at Miami's talent and said, no, they're not going to light us up, and they did.
Matt in Framingham, quick, please.
Yes, Mario will tell you, my first instinct yesterday was deja vu. You got Brady, he has a monster game with one standout, bad play. The defense is getting gassed by a subpar quarterback and multiple running backs. The kicker's missing multiple kicks, and then the coach ultimately loses you the game and then doesn't take the blame for it. What does that sound like? That was a Super Bowl last year, and we're not making to it this year because we're 3-4 on the road. The last 5 Super Bowls we've been to, we had home field advantage. Three of the 3 years in the past 7 years that we didn't make it, we didn't have home field advantage. And the 4 that we did make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no. You need home field, Matthew. Or you have in the past, that's for sure. I'm not convinced you won't get it. And I don't mean you catching KC in the regular season. Let's say that's done. You're 2 games back. I still don't know that Kansas City's out of the woods from choking in the divisional round. I still feel like that's a team that goes 14-2 and then loses at home in the divisional round at L.A. or something like that.
That's their history.
Well, and especially, I'll tell you, the way they're going now, they haven't played well the last couple of games. Ever since the Kareem Hunt thing happened, they haven't played great.
They did show tremendous balls yesterday. Now, that's a game.
4th-and-9.
That's a game KC loses in the past.
Definitely.
No question about it. And now they're pulling that game out. So maybe it is different.
I think they got lucky.
I just need to see it. Well, the Mahomes plays on 4th down weren't luck. That was just...
I don't know.
That kid's special.
Okay, I'll give you the touchdown. 4th and 9, we chuck it up down the middle of the field.
You thought that was a fluke play? Did you watch it?
It was right on the button.
Yeah. I mean, I still think that was more Hill than Mahomes. He just whipped the ball in the middle of the field.
No, he threw it right to him.
Yeah.
What do you mean that was more Hill? It hit him right in the belly button.
I know. After he turned around a linebacker and went the other way, it was a good throw. I still think it was more Hill. But that aside, they tied the game. They got a fumble. Then they missed a field goal to win the game.
Well, this is true.
So, I mean, I do. I think they got a little lucky. I mean, the quarterback's good. He's still too loose with the ball. He made a horrible interception yesterday.
I'm still where I'm at. I don't necessarily believe in the Patriots. I don't. I don't believe this is a championship team. It just doesn't feel like one to me. But I have no faith in anyone else. That hasn't changed. So, you know, it's the tallest little person. It's like, you know, I don't have any faith. I wouldn't put my life savings on any of these teams.
If they win next week, the last two are at home against Buffalo and the Jets.
Non-factors. They're winning those two. So you win this one, you know, so it ain't over. But, you know, yesterday confirmed some of those things that don't feel right about this team. I think that's for sure.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.